Call them what you will. Breasts, boobs, jugs, tits, honkers, sweater stretchers, knockers, hooters, bosom, cans, girls, melons, rack. I'm obsessed with them. I can't stop thinking about them. I look at them all the time, and not just my own meager B cups, but breasts everywhere. I look at how they bounce, how they fit inside clothing, how they sometimes stress the buttons of a blouse, or how they spill over the top edges of a tiny bikini. I was never one of those women who was going to be defined by the size of my boobs. But at the thought of losing them, suddenly they are front and center, so to speak. When Dr. Olson informed me a few short months ago that I have stage 2 breast cancer, I grabbed them, actually cupped my hands over my breasts, as if I were somehow protecting them from the man who would want to slice them from my body. Luckily, I eventually, after 20 horrifying minutes, found out that more than likely I wouldn't lose them unless my treatment didn't work as expected. So now I live my life by the numbers. 93. The percent chance I will survive the 5-year mark. 13. The number of cycles of chemotherapy I must endure. 8. The number of eggs harvested from my ovaries in case the chemo fries my insides. 65. The percent chance I will lose my hair. As I sit here in the chemotherapy clinic, it's the last number that is plaguing my thoughts today. This is my second cycle of chemo, my second week. This is when the hair loss most likely begins. I'm not a particularly vain person, but the idea of losing my long, wavy blonde hair that falls, ironically, to my boobs scares the hell out of me. I look at the people around me who share my weekly Monday morning time slot, and I inventory the amount of hair loss. Yep, I'd say more than half are completely without hair. The women mostly wear scarves to cover their bald heads. One older lady, Grace, who also has breast cancer, wears a wig that is slightly misaligned with her face, but no one has told her. Melanie, who at 38 is the next youngest patient to my 24 years, is stunning with her freshly shaved head. Last week she was complaining that clumps were falling out, and today she showed up with a shiny bald head, refusing to cover it up. I admire her courage, knowing I wouldn't be able to embrace my hair loss as she has. The two men here, in our group of 8, have managed to keep their hair so far, a fact I find decidedly unfair. Surely it wouldn't bother a man as much as it would a woman. I reach down to retrieve my iPod from my purse and wince at the pain that rips through my arm as a result of my pulling at the IV line sticking into the back of my hand. Stacy, the cute redheaded nurse, has mad skills when it comes to inserting the IV. She's so good that I forgot it was there, after the initial burning of the fluids entering my arm. I don't mean to be antisocial, but given my age, I kind of feel like a fish out of water in here. Aside from Melanie, who is 2 seats down from me, I don't think there's another patient here under the age of 50. Last week, being my first week here, they were all very nice and tried to make me feel comfortable. They gave me the rundown on the place. Never drink the coffee, it sucks. Stop at the Starbucks on the way. The biscuits are to die for. It's true, I tried one. Do not pass up a foot or shoulder massage when Trina, the clinic masseuse, comes around. They are heavenly. But most importantly, never, ever miss a chemo cycle. There are only 2 reasons people miss a cycle. 1, they've been in an accident on the way to the clinic. Or 2, they're dead. Or at the very least, laid up in a hospital bed somewhere near death. So the rule of thumb is to call in case of a missed appointment. That way, the rest of us aren't worrying our asses off wondering what has happened. I considered asking them to move me next to Melanie, but I don't. Today, she's brought a friend with her. We're allowed to have someone stay with us as chemo is a long, boring process. There are only so many things to occupy your time here if you don't want to watch the Travel Channel, which is apparently what Steven, the man with colon cancer, wants to watch. From what I gather, he is the sickest one of our group. I guess it's an unwritten rule that we acquiesce the television programming to him. I silently pray that I never get to pick what we watch. 2.5 hours in, I check the clock. It's a little after 11, only 30 minutes left to go.